We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Halva, Halacha Dalet, from the beginning. Hamalves Chaveroi Bishtar, Goive Mimishubodim. The Gemara says that if a person lends somebody money and they made sure to write a contract with witnesses, you know, specifying it, then when the time comes to pay back, if the borrower doesn't have the money, the lender can go to properties, any karka, any nuchasim mishubodim that the loiva sold during the time of, or gave away during the time of the loan, the lender can go and take that. Avol milval peh, whereas if there was no shtar written, it was only verbal, einoi goive mishubodim. There, the lender cannot collect from properties that the borrower had at the time of the loan. If he sold them off or gave them away, the lender has no hand on that. Gam milval pe yochol lichpoer, avol neged shtar einoi nemon. And another difference between the two is, if the loan was only a verbal agreement, if there was no piece of paper written, there was no shtar written, then the loiva can say, I didn't borrow. I paid you back already. Whereas if it's bishtar, if the malve has a shtar, the lender has a shtar with witnesses signed on it, the borrower cannot deny and he cannot say he paid it. Because if you paid it, you should have torn up the shtar. You should have asked for the shtar back. If the shtar is in the hands of the lender, that shows that it was not paid yet. And Rav Nosson Zal is going to go into a major discussion now about the topic of writing, when things are in writing or things are oral, the difference between the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebalpeh, and with that we'll understand, he'll bring it back later to clarify how that relates to this whole union of Halvois. Paragraph Aleph. Ki Isa B'divrei Admor Zal, Rabbeinu Zal tells us, Shehaloive Mechaveroi Hu B'Bechinas Moichin Dekatnos. That if a Jew has to borrow money from somebody else, the borrower is in a state of moichin de katnus. For starters, Rabbeinu Zal says, his emuna is not perfect. Because if a person had perfect emuna, he would know that whatever money I have today, that's what I need for today. If I don't have this money today, it means I don't need it, period. It's no such thing as going to approaching a human being for money. Money comes from Hashem. So whatever money Hashem gave me, that's what I'm supposed to have. If I don't have it, then it means I'm not supposed to have it. Could be I'll have it tomorrow, in a week, or in an hour. But Hashem knows exactly when I need the money and he knows to give it to me. That's the highest darga of emunah. We know that the Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh, it's written, the Baal Shem Tov never went to sleep at night with any money in his pockets. He emptied out his pockets completely, no money at all, because today is today, tomorrow is a different creation. I ain't taking any of today's money with me for tomorrow. Tomorrow is a different world. Tomorrow has its money, today has its money. Whatever money I have today, I have to make sure to use it to serve Hashem. If I don't eat food, give it away for tzedakah. Simple. If I don't have bills to pay, I give it away to charity. Finish. But tomorrow we start with a clean slate. Zero. Not one. But that's the highest dargas of emuna. Because we are not all on that highest level of emuna, we conduct business differently sometimes. And that's why you have a Shulchan Aruch that tells you, if you have to borrow, exactly how to do it, how not to do it, you know, all the details. So Rabbeinu Zal tells us that a Jew who borrows from somebody else is in a category of moichin de katnus. It's a small-mindedness in a sense. In other words, he's not in a state of expanded consciousness. He's not in a state of the top level of emuna and moichin. Ki eved loyve lishmalve, because the Torah tells us that a borrower is subservient. He's a slave. He's a servant to the one who lended him. He becomes under him. Vam Rabbi Senuzal, and the Gemara tells us about servants. Asoro kabin sheno yordu loylam, that Hashem sent 10 measures of sleep to the world, v'tisho notlu avodim. Slaves, servants, took 9 of them. 9/10 of the sleepy heads of the world are the avodim. They know how to sleep a lot. They know how to sleep often, instead of working, instead of doing their jobs. V'sheina hi bechinas histalkus amoichim. And we know that sleep, when a person's asleep, the majority of their brain shuts down. It closes down. It's called histalkus amoichim. The vast majority of the moichim leaves. Bechinas moichim de katnus. So sleep is a state called moichin de katnus, when the brain, only a small part of the brain, is still functioning. And we said avodim are major sleepers. 9/10 of sleep that Hashem sent to the world went to avodim. And when a person borrows money, he's eved. Eved loy velish malve. So a borrower is in a state of moichin de katnus. This is why Rabbeinu Zal taught his students so much, try to do whatever you can to avoid borrowing money. Unless it's emergency, unless there's no other choice in the world, a person does not want to be indebted to anybody other than Hashem. Hashem says, Avodaihem, v'loy avodim l'avodim. You're my servants. I don't want you becoming anybody else's servants. Unless, again, there are exceptions to every rule. Person knows there's a certain bill which, if he doesn't pay it today, there'll be a penalty, 500 shechas hashom, different penalties. And he knows that if he borrows the money today, he does have a way to give it back. He's expecting monies to be coming definite. Everybody says they're expecting monies, but this person knows that he has a relatively sure way of getting money within the amount of time that the person is lending it to him. Then he's allowed to borrow, but even then with tremendous care to make sure he writes down the date and to make sure he's watching the time. He's very careful to try to make sure to get that money back to the one who lent it to him before the time or at the latest on time. And this is why the Gemara warns a Jew not to lend money to anybody without a shtar, without a written piece of paper that says, on this and this day, I'm lending you so much money for this period of time with two witnesses and everything. As we find several stories in the Gemara, Shelo rotzo lahalvois lechaveroi hatalmud chacham be'erev Shabbos ad sheyov ishtar ein shom. The Gemara tells stories about rabbis in the Gemara. Talk about somebody who we trust and we respect. And still, a rabbi approached another rabbi for a loan, and it was erev Shabbos. Who has time to write things down on erev Shabbos? Rushra, just give it to me. I'll give it to you back. No. Get a piece of paper. Get to it. Let's write it down. Let's make sure we write it down. Because of the fact that when a person has to borrow, a loan is an issue of moichin de katnus, that somebody's not in the best shape. One of the players here, the borrower, is not in great shape. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to borrow. So because there's an issue of moichin de katnus here, Vize yodua, and it's known in Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chassidus, sheikar achizas hasitrachra, shehu hakfira vashaker vashikcha, hi bebechinas moichin dekatnus, shein bechinas dinim, that the Yetzahara, which represents lying, denial, forgetting, is all related to moichin dekatnus, which is the concept of din. So, and this person who's borrowing is in a state of moichin de katnus. So he's very vulnerable and susceptible to the sitrachra, which feeds off moichin de katnus. It feeds, and the sitrachra is all about kfira, denying, lying. Alkein tzrichen li zoher moid, sheloi lahalvois baloi shtar. Therefore, a Jew has to be very careful not to lend anybody money without writing it down, a written piece of paper, so that the borrower won't come to deny, I never borrowed, or to forget, or because the sitrachra, sheker, kfira, shikha, are all associated with loans. Shehi bechinas moichin de katnus. Sahalvom is an Indian of moichin de katnus. V'alkein tzrichin shtar daika v'loisagi beidim l'chud. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, a person would say, but hold on a second. If I lend them the money in front of two witnesses, isn't that enough? He can't deny it if I did it in front of two witnesses. Kishtar mamtik bechinas moichin de katnus. Because a shtar has a special power to sweeten, to improve this situation of moichin de katnus. And Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain why. Ki hashtar tzorich liyos nichtov kedin ukedas toiroseinu akdoisho. Because when we write a shtar, what the Gemara calls a shtar, it's got to be written, it's got all kinds of laws of exactly how it's written. It's got to be written in permanent ink. You can't write a shtar in a pencil that somebody could erase. He could change the number from 5,000 to 1,000 and nobody would notice it. It's got to be a kind of ink that you can't erase. And there's all kinds of laws when it comes to writing a shtar, all kinds of halachas. Utzrichen ledaktog boy kemoi beksiva sforim kedoshim. And a person has to be particular when writing a shtar, to write every letter neatly and carefully, like when you're writing a Sefer Torah. Kemavura besimen mem beis siv gimel. As we find in Choshen Mishpot, simen mem beis siv gimel, shetzrichen lehizboinen bevoven vezainen. The Shulchan Aruch says, be careful. We know that in Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh, in Aksav Ashut, when you write a Vav and a Zayin, they look very similar. It's very easy to change a Vav into a Zayin to Vav. So when you're writing a Shtar, the Shulchan Aruch says, make sure to be very careful to make the Zayin or the Vav very clear. So there's no chance of the ink getting rubbed out or something, or somebody going in and changing it without it being very noticeable. V'yia haksav meyusher, you have to write straight. V'shove b'chol dvorov, a shtar has to be written very neatly and clearly. Ki hashtar hu bebechinas Torah shebichsav, because the shtar represents the written Torah. Ki al piv onudonin hadin Torah ben aloiva v'amalva, because that shtar is going to decide. Soon we're going to be reading Parshas Mishpatim, where it talks all about money matters. And there we see, depending on what it said in that shtar, depending if the date was the right date, it wasn't backdated, it wasn't postdated, and depending on the signature of the witnesses, did they sign called, depending on all kinds of details, that's going to decide the halachas. That's going to decide whether he owes the money or he doesn't owe the money, or whether he has to pay by this day or not, or whether the properties that he sold in the interim are sold, whether a malve can go after it or he can't go after it. Ki al piv onudonin hadin toira ben aloiva v'amalve. V'ze merumos b'divrei rabbeisenu, and Rav Nosson Zal says, we find a hint to this in the words of the Gemara, she'omru, where the Gemara says, milva haksuva b'toira kiksuva b'shtar domi. That a loan that's mentioned in the Torah, it's as if you wrote a shtar for it. So we see that the Torah is comparing shtar to Torah shebichsav. These two are mamish interchangeable like. Ki hashtar hanichtav kedin Torah hu keksiva satoira v'knal. Because a shtar that's written following the rules of the Torah is mamish, it has like a din like a sefer Torah, that level of truth. V'alkein hashtar mamtik u'mevatil b'chinas hamoichin dekatnus, shu'b'chinas halvo, and that's what gives a shtar. A shtar is a holy item. It has the ability to be mamtik, the moichin dekatnus, which is a halvo, which is what a loan is all about. Shemishom achizas hasheker. We said moichin dekatnus is something that sheker can attach itself to easily. Ki torah shebichsav, shu'b'chinas hashtar, hu mesakein, because the written Torah, which is compared to a shtar, has the ability to sweeten and improve moichin de katnus. Now the term moichin de katnus is used to mean a few different things. We gave an example before, when a person's sleeping, that's called moichin de katnus. He's not working, in Spanish they say, he ain't playing with a full deck. He has one card, not a full deck. He's using a drop of his brain. Sleep is a form of moichin dekatnus. When a person takes a loan, he's in a moichin dekatnus. Why? Because he's under pressure. I owe money. I borrowed money. He's looking at me. He's waiting for his money back. He's going to be he's going to call me. He's going to that's moich in the katnas. Moich in the godless is when a person's a free man. He doesn't owe anybody anything. Nobody can tell him what to do. He's well rested. He's thinking clearly. That's moich in the godless. Moich in the katnas is anything that's the opposite of that. So now Rav Nosson Zal tells us that Torah shebichsav is mamtik moich in the katnas. And he's going to prove it from something that the Arizal tells us. Bebechinas, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, ben chomesh lemikra, that at the youngest age that a child can start studying, what do we teach him? Torah shebichsav, chomesh. At 5 years old, we start teaching a kid chomesh. She'oz hu bebechinas moich in the katnus. A five-year-old child is moich in the katnus. He doesn't have a big brain yet. He didn't learn a lot yet. Ki hu koton adayin u moichi bekatnus. He's still young and his moyach is small. Oz tzrichin alamdoi mikra. And the Mishnah tells us that's when we need to teach him chumish, shehu ter shebichsav, kedei lesakein ulahamtik bechinas moich in the katnus. In order to fix and improve the moich in the katnus. V'chein muva bekisvei Arizal. The Arizal writes about this. She'Torah shebichsav nimsheches mimokoim shenimsheches, that the Torah shebichsav comes from a very high place, a very high spiritual place called Chochma Ilah, a very high place. V'yoyredes lemato ad huasiyah. And because it comes from such a high place, it has the ability to reach down to the lowest level, to the Olam Huasiyah. V'zeh yodua, and we know it's known in Sforim, she'ikar achizas moichin dekatnus hu ba'asiyah, that the main power of moichin dekatnus, the main concept of small-mindedness, is in the Olam Huasiyah, which is the lowest world. Shehu tachlis agashmius, this is the most materialistic of all the worlds. Hainu kanal, as we explained earlier. So Rav Nosson Zal showed us in this first paragraph that alone is an example of moich in the katnus, and moich in the katnus sets a red light flashing. When we talk about moich in the katnus, it's vulnerable to the Yetzirah, vulnerable to sheker, to kfira, to all kinds of things. Therefore, we have to take special steps to protect, to make sure that when we're in a state of moich in the katnas, we're not going to make a mistake. One of those steps is a shtar. And Rav Nosson Zal showed how a shtar is a bechin of Torah shebichsav. And that has a power to improve, to fix moich in the katnas, and to protect it from any kind of from mistakes. Paragraph Beis. And this is why the Gemara tells us that if Reuven lent money to Shimon with a shtar, there was a written document, then Reuven has the right to collect from Nechosim Mishubodim, which means karka, property. Vedafka mikarkois. The Gemara says we're referring to property. Sheheim Nechosim Sheyesh Lohem Achrayis. The Gemara refers to property as possessions which are responsible. They carry responsibility. They carry liability. Property can have a liability, can have a lien on it. Much more so. Whereas, v'loy mimetaltalin, not movable objects like a ring or something like that. That's if it was written in a shtar. Avol malval peh. Whereas if Reuven lends money to Shimon, and they don't write it down, there's no piece of paper written down, and the time comes for Shimon to pay, and he says, I'm sorry, I don't have any money. What? I'd love to pay you, but I don't have. So Reuven says, okay, but you have property. You have a house, you have two houses, you have other things. I'll collect it from that. The Gemara says that milval peh, if it was only verbal, nothing written down, he cannot collect from property. Ki kol dovor yeshloi shoyrish lamala, because everything in this world has an origin, originates from something on a higher level. Dehainu bahatoira. Everything in this world has a source, it has its roots in the Torah. Shehi shoyresh v'chius shel kol ha'oretz amaloya. The Torah is the source and the roots and the source of life of everything in existence. V'shoyresh karkoi sumetaltelin heim bebechinas Torah shebichsav v'Torah shebal peh. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to show us property is connected to the written Torah. Movable objects are connected to the oral Torah. Ki kemoi sheho'oretz, he shoyresh shel kol hadvorim sheboilam. Because just like the earth, the ground, is the source of everything in this world, everything in this world comes from or is nourished from the earth. Ki hakoil hoyom in ofar, everything originated from ofar, man originated from ofar, he's called Adam because he comes from the Adama, from the earth, and everything else, metal, steel, everything comes from the ground. Ki kol haperois, v'chol habegodim, v'chol hametaltan v'achvotzim sheboilam, hakoil hoyom in ofar, because all fruit and vegetables and clothing and all movable objects in the world all originate or draw their chias from the ground, from the earth. Clothing comes from sheep. Sheep eat grass. They draw their nourishment from the ground. The afal pikein, and even though everything comes from the earth, meho ofor atzmoi efshir lehonois velitoy me peroisov. You can't put your mouth on the ground and eat an apple. Or eat a vegetable. Shekula mushroshimbo, even though the apple comes from the ground, it grows from the earth, all of these fruit and vegetables come from the ground, you can't get it directly from the earth. Kiim kishezoirin, unless you plant seeds. Venoitinoison, vo'ivden avoidoso, you plow the ground, you water it, you do all the different things you have to do to get those seeds to grow, to produce grain or fruit or vegetables. Ad shois aperois, until it produces fruit. Ve'oz daiko royin gedulas ha'oretz u'malosa. And it's only then, after you planted a tree, and the tree grew, and it produced oranges, and you peel the orange, and you eat the fruit, and you feed, that's when you first get to see and appreciate how special the earth is, how special that ground is. Shemegadeles peirois neflois koelu, that the earth produces such wonderful fruits and vegetables. Ve'oz daiko nehenin u'misange mimeno mi'bekol tuv oretz she'etzmicha. And it's only then that we benefit and we enjoy the ground. We enjoy all the wonderful things that have been produced from the ground. Rav Nosson Zal says now, kemoikein hu bechinas tor shebechsav v'tor shebalpeh. We have the exact same relationship between the written Torah and the oral Torah. Shetorah shebichsav hi shoyresh hakol. The written Torah is the source, the foundation, the roots of everything. Shoyresh kol hadinim v'amitzvah shebetorah. All the laws and mitzvahs, everything that we derive from the Torah originates from the written Torah. Im kol digdukeim uproteim v'anfeim v'kanesim. All the thousands of halachas and details and lomdus and everything, all originates from the written Torah. Ki leko midi deloy remiza boy raisa, because there is nothing in the Torah Shebal Peh or in the Shulchan Aruch that doesn't have a remez, that doesn't have some basis in the written Torah. Everything originates from Tanakh, Torah, Neviim, and Ksuvim. Aval afal pikein, however, even though that's the origin and beginning of everything, mitorah shebichsav biatzma beloy torah shebalpeh, iefshir leida ulekayim shum mitzvah klal. If we only had the written Torah and no Gemara and no Halacha, we wouldn't know any of the mitzvahs at all just about. From the written Torah at all, you don't get any description at all of any of the details of a mitzvah whatsoever. For example, keep mitzvahs tefillin. Let's take the mitzvah of tefillin. pair of tefillin cost $1,000, $1,500. It takes a few months to write the parshias and to make the batim. There's 10 people working to do it, and there's thousands of halachas. Every letter in the parshia has maybe 100 different halachas about it. How the aleph is written, how the beis is written, how to use every single letter. And yet in the Chumash, loy nemru kiim b'pasuk echad. There's one pasuk in the entire Chumash about tefillin, where it says, ukshartam la'ois al yodecha, v'hayu le'totofais bein einecha, have a nice day. That's tefillin. And figure it out. You figure it out yourself. It should be purple, green. It should be made of orange juice or steak. Or what do we make? All of that is not written in the Chumash at all. Ve'ein yoidim im al kaf hayad o al kiboyres. We don't know whether you wear the tefillin on the palm of your hand or on the muscle. Vim tzrichin laniach haparshis bebatim, or whether you're supposed to put the parshis into boxes. And on what do you write these parshias? On parchment, on paper. V'chein shar dinei tefillin, so to all the other laws of tefillin. V'chein b'chol ha-mitzvahs. And the same thing is true about all the mitzvahs. U'kimavur mizeh b'mokam achar, as we've discussed this in other places. V'chasher ha'erichu b'zeh b'kama sifrei kedoshim. And as many holy books write and emphasize to us, how critical the Torah Shebaal Peh is in Yiddishkeit. That 99.9% of our Yiddishkeit comes from the Torah Shebaal Peh. And yet, there's nothing in the Torah Shebaal Peh that's not connected to the Torah Shebichsav. Alkein, therefore, bivadai mi Torah Shebichsav biatzmo, yefshel eskayim. It's impossible for a Jew to live, to exist spiritually, with the Torah Shebichsav alone, just with the Chumash and the Nach. Ki ein yoidin lekayim shum mitzvah, because you wouldn't know how to fulfill any mitzvah at all. It's rak al yidei chachameinu akdoshim. It's only through our holy rabbis, shechorshu, who plowed, vizoru, and they planted, vinotu, and they planted saplings, vehitzlichu, and they succeeded, v'osu peiros, and they brought forth the fruit of the Torah Shebichsav. U'beiru lanu kol dinei haTorah b'chol mitzvah mitzvah. And they're the ones who refined and clarified for us all the details of each and every single mitzvah. Kifi ma shekiblu ish mi piish ad Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom. As they received it, one rabbi from his rabbi, from his rabbi, going back all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. We know that the Medrash says that the opening pasuk of the Aseres HaDibros is Vayedaber Elohim es kol hadvorim hu'ela lemar. So the Medrash says, why doesn't it just say Vayedaber Elohim es hadvorim hu'ela lemar? Hashem said the following words. What's es kol hadvorim? To teach us that everything that any rabbi in the thousands of years to come, any Torah that any rabbi would write in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, in Shulchan Aruch, in Sfarim, was all given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, was all passed on to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. Ukefi hadroshos shedorshu al pi shloish esre midah shatorah nedreshes behem, and based on the formulas which the rabbis were given, the special 13 formulas by which we're allowed to study and expound the Torah, shenimsar lahem ish mi pi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu lashon, which again were given over to the rabbis from one rabbi to the other, going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's our masorah, that's our tradition, that's our heritage. Shetzrichen lidroish haTorah be'elu ashloish esre midos, that these are the 13 formulas by which we're able to understand and expound the Torah. Umipihem anu choyim, and we live by the mouths of these rabbis. We live by what they tell us. They tell us that ukshartem lois al yodecha means not over here, not on the palm. You put the tefillin shoyad up here. And they tell us bein einecha does not mean between the eyes. It means on the forehead, across the place where it would be between the eyes. All the different details. K Ki al yodom onu yoidim kol dinei hamitzvos beprotius shonu mekayimim kol yomeinu. Because it's through the rabbis, through the Torah Shebaal Peh, that we know all the laws of the mitzvahs, every detail which we fulfill throughout our lives. Asher heim chayenu, and that's our life, that's our religion. Val yodom kiyum kol ho'ilamos. And we know that the Torah is what's upholding all the worlds. There's a pasuk imloy brisi, chukoy shamayim voretz loy samti. Hashem says, if there's no Torah, there's no worlds. The minute the Torah goes away, the worlds collapse, they disappear. So that all of the worlds are being nourished by the Torah, this Torah which is based on the Torah Shebichsav, but 99.9% of its detail was given to us in the Torah Shebaal Peh by the Chachamim. Nimtza, we see therefore, she Torah Shebichsav im Torah Shebaal Peh heim bechinas ha'oretz umaloya, that the written Torah and the oral Torah are just like the earth and the trees, all the other things that besides the earth, all the metaltalin, shehim karkois umetaltalin, shesharoshim v'chiyusam nimshoch mishom. The source of all metaltalin, and the life of all the metal, everything in this world, it all draws from the earth. V'alkein ikar koyach hashtar shu bebechinas teres shebichsav, ikroy al hakarkois daika. And that's why the shtar, this written document, where we write down the details of the loan, that written document has power over the Torah Shebichsav, over the karka, over the earth, over real estate, things like that. Sheyochoy loitziyom afilu milikuchos, that the lender is able to go to somebody who bought land or property or buildings from the borrower, and he's able to grab it from him and tell him, get off my land. He owed me money. At the time he sold you this building or this field, he owed me money. And these fields, there was a lien on them by the loan that the money that I lent him. V'alkein ikar koyach hashtar shechon shebichsav, ikar al karkoiz daiko, sheyochel osnon, ki ikar Torah shebichsav, hu bebechinas ha'oretz, shu karkoiz. Because the whole concept of the Torah Shebichsav is like the earth, it's like the ground. It's the source of everything, and yet you see almost nothing in it. All you see is black dirt, you know, period. And yet everything comes from there. Paragraph Gimel, v'zeh bechinas milve bishtar kola islay. And this is why the Gemara tells us another reason. The Gemara says, if Reuven lends Shimon money and they write a piece of paper, people know about it. Something that got written down, people hear about it. If it's not written down, it's very possible that even though he lent him 25, nobody knows, nobody hears about it. A piece of paper, the one who wrote it, because again, they wrote a shtar, he had to get a sefer to write it, yet it was written serious, it was a serious thing with a real pen and everything, so people find out about it. And therefore, they'll be much more careful about doing any transactions, doing any business with the borrower, unless they know for sure he'll be able to pay back the loan that he took out. Ki shoyresh hashtar mebechinas Torah shebichsav kanal. Because as we just explained before, a shtar is rooted in the written Torah, shenitna bekoiloi subrokim. And we know that when Hashem gave the written Torah, there was music, there was lightning and thunder, the whole mountain was shaking, the whole world was shaking. So there was koiloi subrokim. V'hakoil biatzmoi hu bechinas haksav. And those loud noises, that noise, that publicity, is also referred to as writing. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, Koil Hashem choytzev laha voiseish. The voice of Hashem gives forth fire, flames of fire. Shehoya hakoil nichtav al aluchos eish shchoira al gbi eish levona. Kamo yishom Rabbi Sinazal. The Gemara tells us that the luchos which Moshe Rabbeinu received on Har Sinai, the writing was done, it was black fire on top of white fire. So we see again, koil Hashem choytzev la'avoy seish, that the koil is synonymous, the writing is synonymous with koilois. Ki ikar ha koilois hoya bebchinas Torah shebichsav. The main koilois at Har Sinai was associated with the written Torah. Ki ha koil hu aksav kanal, as we said. Aval Torah shebal peh, whereas the oral Torah, the verbal Torah, afal pi shenitna oz gam kein, even though the Gemara and the Mishnah was also given on Har Sinai, ki Hashem Yisborach hera oz l'moshe, afilo ma shetalmid vosik osik l'chadesh, because Gemara tells us Hashem showed Moshe Rabbein on Har Sinai even things that kids in yeshiva, a good student in yeshiva, is going to come up with a chiddush, an idea, an explanation in Torah. All of that was shown to Moshe Rabbein on Har Sinai. Aval ikar nisinoso hoya mi peh loizen. But the oral Torah was from mouth to ear. It was done private, not with booming sound, not broadcasting. Because this is the whole difference between the written Torah and the oral Torah. The oral Torah is referred to as a secret, whereby the other nations of the world don't know about it. Aval Torah shebichsav, whereas the written Torah, nitna befarhesia, that was given publicly. Hashem didn't hide it. There was musical accompaniment, thunder and lightning and everything. V'nichtava b'sefer lein kol, it was put in writing for everybody to see. V'al kein gam umo yisoilim yoydim imenu, and that's why the goyim know about Torah shebichsav. And they study Torah Shebichsav also. There's a concept of the Old Testament or different things that they call it. Bible, they study it also. And we know this is the main difference between the Goyim and Lahavdil, the Jews, that the Goyim also have a connection to the written Torah, but the oral Torah, Torah Shebaal Peh, is what separates the Jews from everybody else in the world. That's only for Jews. And this is why for thousands of years, they never allowed it to be written down. They didn't allow the oral Mishnah to be written down. It was studied by heart. Until Rabbi Yehuda Anossi saw that the generations were getting so weak that if they don't write down the Mishnahs, people are going to forget and everything. And there was a special, special heter that was given of Eis Laso Eis Lashem Heferu Torah Secha, where we break the rule and we allow you to write down Mishnah. And then again, as the generations got weaker, they wrote down the Gemara, etc. And then in recent times, in our times, we see that when there were people who wanted to come along and translate the Gemara into English or things like that, they had to go to very, very big rabbis and justify. What do you mean? The Gemara is not for every. The Gemara is not for non-Jews. The Gemara is a secret. There's a pasuk, Loyosa chein lechol goy u'mishpat ma'ido, that Hashem has not done this for the other nations. The word chein, chof nun, is bigematria soid, 70. Loyosa chein lechol goy, the soid, the secret, is not for everybody. It's reserved for the Jews. The Torah shebal peh, bal peh, secret. We don't want any papers. Don't leave around any papers. When you're hiding something, you don't put it in writing. So this secret is not. So there had to be special justification. The fact that in today's times, 95 or 98% of Jews can't read Aramaic. The ones who need it the most can't read Aramaic, and some of them can't even read Hebrew. And for this, the rabbis gave special, special permission to be permitted to translate the Gemara into English, into other languages, to make it accessible to Jews, to the majority of Jews who were being left out, but still being careful that the Gemara is something that we don't share with the Goyim. That's something that sets us apart from them, as we're going to see. Ukemavur b'likutei tintanino b'simen chofches, ayin shom. Rabbi Nazal has a chapter in Likutei Maran that's devoted to this topic about Torah Shebichsav versus Torah Shebaal Peh, the Jews versus the rest of the world. And Rabbi Nosson Zal has a few major halachas in Likutei Halachas where he speaks about this. Paragraph Dalid. Vehine Mavoyer Shom, Rabbi Nazal explains over there in Likutei Maran, Shemi sheyodea lahavchin ulahakir bein hatoyrois A person who has the ability to know and understand which Torahs you're allowed to write down and which Torahs you're not supposed to write down, hu yochoy lahakir es isha Yisraeli bein ha'umais. He will have the ability, if he sees a group of people standing together, he'll be able to pick out that one's Jewish. He's Jewish, they're not Jewish. He'll be able, and we know that today, sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult to tell who's a Jew and not. Sometimes there are Jews who dress exactly the same way as non-Jews. They dress the same way, their hairstyle, everything is the same, where it becomes almost impossible to differentiate. So Rabbeinu Zal says there in the Likutei Moharan that a Jew who knows the difference between what Torahs you're allowed to write down, what Torahs you're not supposed to write down, that Jew will be able to see clearly who's a Jew and who's not a Jew. Even if there's a Jew standing among many other non-Jews, he'll be able to recognize him and identify him. Ki ikar hahevdel shebein Yisroel u'umos hu bebechinas ma sheloi nitan lichtoi, bechinas Torah shebal peh. Because the main difference between the Jews and everybody else is regarding what you're not allowed to write down. It's regarding the Torah shebal peh. Shkemoi de'isa, as is brought, shebishvil zeh nitne Torah shebal peh, that this is the reason why Hashem gave the Torah shebal peh, bal peh. Why didn't Hashem write it down? Machma shetzofo sheyu Yisroel begolus. Because Hashem saw into the future. Hashem saw that there's going to come a time that the Jews are not all going to be living in a Jewish country. There's going to be Jews living outside in the countries of other nations. V'yatiku ha'umos la'atzmon Torah shebichsav. And the Jews are going to be living among the Goyim. The Jews are going to have a Torah. The Goyim are going to copy it. They're going to find out about it. They're going to write it down. They're going to have copies of the Torah. Al kein nosan lonu Torah shebal peh. That's why Hashem gave us all the details and all the important information was not written down, was passed bal peh, sheze einom yecholim lahatik, so that the goyim cannot copy that, machmeshu bal peh, because it's oral. Nimtza sheikar hahevdel v'hayisroin shel Yisroel al humais, that the main difference and the main advantage that the Jews have over the other nations of the world is regarding the Torah Shebal Peh, which is not supposed to be written down. And each and every individual Jew has a portion of the oral Torah, which is his portion, and it's not to be written down. V'alkein, and therefore, mi shemakir bein ha'toyre shenitnu lichtoiv, shloinen lichtoiv, a person who knows and can recognize which Torahs are allowed to be written down and which Torahs should not be written down, hu yochoy lahakir bein Yisroel u'mois. He can recognize the difference between Jew and non-Jew. Ki ze ikar hevdelam, because this is the main difference between us. Ad kan leshoinoi b'simen chav chesanal. These are Rabbeinu Zal's words in chapter 28 in the second half of Likutei Moharan. And so Rav Nosson says, now we understand the difference between ksav and bal peh. And we spoke earlier about karka and metaltalin, about a loan, being able to put a lien on property, which corresponds to Torah shebichsav, not on metaltalin, which is Torah shebal peh. And Rav Nosson Zal is going to come back to that. First, he's going to continue on a tangent, going from one topic to the next, clarifying all kinds of things, and then he'll bring it all back to this topic of the loans, with the exactly how it works. Paragraph Hey, v'zeh b'chinas Rosh Hashanah v'yom HaKippurim v'kol avodaseinu b'yom emohem ad shmini atzeres v'simchas Torah. With this introduction, we can understand much better what Jews are doing throughout that whole period of time, from Rosh Hashanah, through Sukkot, through Shmini Atzeres. Hakoil lahokim velivnois es bechinas hamalchus. The Sforim HaKadoshim tell us that our mission, the mission of the Jewish people during that period of time, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aser Simei Tshuva. It's all about building up Hashem's kingdom, His glory, His honor, the respect, Melech HaKovoid. It's all about the Malchus of Hashem, the Kovod of Hashem. Shehu Bechinas Emuna, which is also synonymous with Emuna, faith, Kayadua, as is known. Because it's brought that just like Malchus, Ein Melech Beloam, the attribute of Malchus is not something that the person has. One day he's a Melech, the next day he's not a Melech. He didn't lose any weight. He didn't take a shave. He looks exactly the same. He weighs exactly the same. One day he's king of Egypt. The next day he's in jail. They're putting him on trial. They're going to decide whether to kill him or fry him or bake him. Because Ein Melech Beloya Malchus is something which if the people choose to respect you, to consider you an authority, then you're a Melech. The minute they decide they're not choosing you anymore, they choose somebody else, the Malchus disappeared. It evaporated. So Malchus is something that has no light of its own. The leslo migar maklum, just like emuna, faith, is something that we don't see and we don't understand. It's not something tangible. Faith is specifically in something that you can't see. You can't touch it. You can't understand it. That's one of the comparisons that's made between Malchus and emuna, that those two go together. There are many other explanations. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains, ki ikar hisgalus malchusa yisborach, because when we talk about revealing and broadcasting the kingdom of Hashem, what it's really all about is lehisvada ulehigalois ki Hashem yisborach umelech al kol oretz. It's all about informing and enlightening everybody that Hashem is king and in control of everything in the world. And Hashem is in control, hands-on. Every second, 24/7, Hashem is involved and hands-on on everything going on in the world. And it's impossible for people to be able to understand that, accept that, without faith. Ki besechel, because with intellect, we can't possibly understand everything that Hashem does. Ki govu shamayim me'oretz, as the pasuk says, ki govu shamayim me'oretz, that just like heaven is so far above earth, so too Hashem's intellect is so far above ours. That the Rambam says, ilu yedativ heisiv, if you would understand Hashem, you would be Hashem. And since you ain't Hashem, it makes perfect sense that there's a lot of things Hashem does that you don't understand, that don't make sense to you. It's simple, because you ain't Hashem. If you were Hashem, just like you have a six-year-old kid who walks into a house and he sees the oven and the refrigerator, all the different things, and he says, he doesn't understand why we bought this refrigerator. He doesn't understand how in the world could this thing possibly keep the food. A box? A green box with the light bulb, that's going to keep the food cold? Are you crazy? And the parent says, yes, it will. The kid says, what are you? Impossible. I'll make a green box here. It ain't going to make anything cold. It's just going to make the floor dirty. The parent says, you don't understand. You're 6 years old. You're going to get a little older. You're going to learn about electricity. You're going to learn about refrigeration. You're going to learn how it works. You're going to learn that this box, this piece of metal, can actually keep things cold, and you can decide if you want it to be 32 degrees or 31 degrees, and the top is a fridge and the bottom is a freezer, all of those things. A three-year-old kid has no, they take an ice cream, and the kid, that mother says, give me the ice, you're not going to finish it now, you'll finish it later. Mother says, don't put it in that box, it's going to melt. No, it's not going to, what do you mean it's not going to melt? Any normal person knows, you take an ice cream, put it into a box, it'll melt. Don't take that ice cream away from me. And the parent says, no, you don't understand. This is a freezer. This keeps things. Kid says, of course that. What do you mean? There's nothing to understand. So we see that there's different levels. So for a human being to dare, to have the chutzpah, to think that everything has to make sense to them, that, and if they don't understand it, if it doesn't make sense to them, then it can't be, That's how we have all the kfira, the atheists and the other nuts in the world, because they can't accept that there's things we can't understand. And when you can't understand, you have to switch lanes and go into emunah mode, that I believe I can accept it even though I don't understand it. Al kein ikar hisgalus malchusoi memshaltoi hual yidei emunah. Therefore, the main revelation of Hashem's greatness and kingdom is through emunah. Ki bechinas malchus hu emunah kamuva, because these two go together, as is brought in many places in Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chassidus. Veze kol avoydaseinu b'Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim ad Shmini Atzeres. And this is what all of our davening and all the mitzvahs that we do from Rosh Hashanah through Sukkos, this is what it's all about. Lenaser v'livnois b'chinas malchus emunah, to slice and build up the malchus, the faith, shetihye b'chinas ponim b'ponim, to make it that it should be face to face. Kimavur bekavonas, as is explained in the writings of the Arizal. Fortunately, Rav Nosson Zal, in other places in the Likutei Lachos, explains this. So even for people who haven't learned the writings of the Arizal, in other places he clarifies. We know the Gemara tells us that when Hashem created Adam and Chava, originally they were created as Siamese twins, which means back to back. They were attached from the back. That's how they were created. And they existed. However, in order to fulfill their real mission in the world, in order to be able to have children and raise families and do everything they needed to do, it couldn't work that way. It couldn't work ochar bochar. And therefore, Hashem had to put Adam and put them to sleep, a tardema, and then Hashem had to slice them apart from the back so that they could turn around and face each other and communicate and talk and live together, and in that manner be able to function. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that even though Hashem has no body, there's nothing physical about Hashem in any way whatsoever, kaviyochol by Hashem also there is this concept. There's a concept of Hashem and the Shekhinah, Hashem and the Spirit of Hashem. That's the terminology that's used. And in the beginning, these two are also attached ochor bochor. They're attached back to back. Those that study karate and self-defense and things like that know that whenever a person is under attack, the thing you have to watch most is to watch your back. You know, when a person who's very strong or very talented in fighting, he's got 180-degree vision. Whatever is in front of him on the sides, he can handle. Somebody wants to hit him, kick him, this, that, he can deal with it. But most of us don't have eyes in the back of our head. So if somebody goes in back of me with a baseball bat, hits me over the head, I wouldn't even know that he's coming. I don't know that there's any, no way of knowing whatsoever. So you're always told to stand against the wall in that kind of situation, so that you have no back. So there's no option of somebody coming from behind you and hitting you because you're against the wall. Then you can at least see anyone that wants to attack you from 180-degree vision. What if it's two people? What if it's two against five or two against 20? What do you do then? What's the best possible way of having the least chance of losing the fight or getting terribly hurt? If the two take a position like that, they stand back to back, and they move together like that so that there's no back. There is no back. Now they have 360, now they can see all around them in a circle. He sees his 180, he sees, and in that manner they have control of the whole circle. Lahavdil, in Kiddush and Ruchnius, the Zohar HaKadosh uses the same terminology, that when the forces of Tumah are strong, when the Tumah, the Sitrach, is strong, then it forces a situation whereby Kaviyochol Hashem and the Shekhinah have to be Ocher Bocher, because the Sitrach or the Tumah is Yoinek from the Ocher, from the back. The most defenseless position is the back, from behind. That's where the other side can attack from. That's where the other side can draw from. So what do? We erase the back. There is no back. When we're back to back like this, there is no back. All sides are protected. However, you can't do that forever. In order to go into production mode, in order to be able to produce and do anything, you need a union of ponim b'ponim. You need a different union. So when the time is right, at the right time, there's this nesira, there's slicing them apart. And once they're sliced apart, there's the ability for them to turn around and face to face. And then there's a yichud, and then all kinds of good things are produced. And the Zohar HaKadosh, the Arizal, explained that this is what goes on Rosh Hashanah, the sleep, the shofar is an alarm clock. Why are we blowing shofar? Who's sleeping? Who's sleeping that we have to wake up? The answer is kaviyochol. This is a tardema. The Zohar HaKadosh says there's a sleep that Hashem imposes on mankind, a spiritual sleep, just like he did at that time with Adam and Chava, in order to enable this process to take place, this nesira, this severing apart and switching from back-to-back mode to face-to-face mode, which is a mode where people can communicate, where they can produce and do all kinds of things. Back to earth. Rabbi. Where are we? Exactly. Ve'ikra ho'emuno nimsheches al yedei ha'toyra gdoisha shekibalnu b'ksavu balpeh. And we know that the main source of emuna for Klal Yisrael is the Torah, which we receive from Hashem in two modes, written and oral. Kama shekosev, as the Pasuk says, kol mitzvoisecha emuna. All of the mitzvahs are all about emuna. As the Gemara says at the end of Makkos, Bo Chavakuk veheemidon alachas. Chavakuk Hanavi came along and he shrank the Torah to its most common denominator, to the most basic element in the Torah, which is v'tzadik be'emunaso yichye. A tzadik lives with his emuna. Ve'ikar shleimuso emuna ho'aydei Torah shebal peh. But the real perfection, the real complete emuna, is only if you have the oral Torah. Sheboze ikra hevdol ben Yisrael al umos kanal, because we said that's what differentiates between the Jews and everybody else. Ki be'emes gam ho'umos kulam yesh lehem emuna b'shem yisporach bi'atzmoy. Because the truth is, even most of the other nations believe in Hashem. They believe in a concept of a creator. Vafilu ho'ivdem avodah zarah. Even those who worshipped idols, the Buddhists, and Oishenoflu Lishar Mine Kfiris, Binyan Hanhogi Sporach, or others that got involved in other mistakes about religion, about theology, Afal Pikain, Ma'amin and Boyisporach, they still believe in a top being, in a creator. Sheyesh Yochid Nimtzo HaMachuyav Yisborashmoy. They believe that there is a singular creator, the one who originally created everything. Ukamay Shekosov, as the Pasuk says, Bechol Mokoim Muktor Umugosh Lishmi. Hashem says, in all places, in all religions, where they're bringing sacrifices and everything, it's all really going to me. It's all, you know, they're serving this one and that one, but I'm on the top of the pyramid is Hashem. Hashem's right on top there. Vam Rabbi Seinuzal, and our rabbis tell us, de korele eloko de lokaya, that even the goyim lahavdil, they refer to Hashem as the Hashem of Hashem. They believe in others, lower level ones, intermediaries, whatever they want to call it, but they know that there's a Hashem who's the boss of all bosses, the eloko de lokaya. Because in the most basic aspect of emuna, lahavdil, everybody agrees. Rak shebeprotius emuna, it's just that when it gets into the nitty gritty, when it gets into the details, lahamin shohu yisporach manig ha'olam kiritzoinoi, to believe that every single thing going on this world is only through the direct command and control of Hashem. Umashgiach boi bashgocha proteus. And Hashem is supervising every detail, every fly that's flying, a blade of grey, every single thing. V'chol hashinuyim sheboilam, and all the changes, the weather changes and the wind and everything. V'chol ma shenas boilam, v'chol eis vorega, akol ayodo yisporach, and that every single thing that happens in this world every second is only through the command and control of Hashem. Kigam hateva biatzma humanic b'retzon yisborach, because even nature, even the laws of nature, summer, winter, rain, snow, all of these things, even that Hashem is control, is all through Hashem's ratzon. Be'inyin zeh heim nevoichim b'deyo yisoro sukfiris gedoilis. It's regarding that level of detail, that's where the goyim get lost. And they have all kinds of questions, things they don't understand, and they get philosophical, all the stuff. At shemach mazeh nimtzoim b'neim k'tzas koifrim gmurim. And as a result of that, because they can't understand, they can't relate to Hashgacha Prati, those things, because of that, we have some, a few, who are mamish atheists, who don't believe in anything. Avalheim betelim b'miutam. However, they are a small minority. Kihem mevuzim b'neim b'atzmam kiklovim. Because even among the goyim, they look at those guys, guys who don't believe in anything, they're dogs, they're nothing, you know, they're garbage. V'chulam mecharfem oisam, and even the non-Jews insult them, that a person who has no faith, he's a non-Jew, he's not a person. V'hakoel moidim be'ikruhu emuna bo'isporach. All, the vast majority, even of the goyim, believe on a certain level in a creator. Kemavura b'hasforim shemeviim de'oseim. As you'll find in the books that describe their opinions, that define their theology, Catholicism and Bathalism, all the different books. Aval anachnu bnei Yisrael hivdilonu hu yisporach min hatoyim, but us, the Jewish people, Hashem has set us apart from those who are wandering around, those who are drifting. V'nosan lonu toira semes b'ksav u'bal peh. And Hashem gave us a true Torah in writing and oral. V'onu zeichim le'emuna shlema b'chol habachinois. We are the ones who have the ability to be zeiche to complete faith, to 100% faith. Ki onu ma'minim bo yisborach, because number one, we believe in Hashem up there. And number two, v'shekol hanhoga so'olam b'chol eis, Hakoil al Yodesbor, that every single thing that's going on in this world, every second, is only through Hashem's command, through Hashem's control. Kamei Shekosuv, as it says in the pasuk, which we say every day, V'ato mechaya eskulam, you Hashem give life to everything. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, V'ato moishel bakoil, you Hashem rule over everything. V'chein harbe, and we have many psukim like this. We'll hold it over here for now. We'll continue from here, Mitzvah Shem, in the next shir. Again, he's going to show how this is also the concept of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav is about believing in Hashem on a very general level. But Torah Shebal Peh is what separates the men from the boys. That's where it starts getting lemaisa. That's where it starts getting serious. Tefillin that have to look, have to be leather and exactly this time. That's where you get into the real recognition that Hashem is in every aspect and every detail of life. We'll see that afterwards, Mr. Shem.